Huawei lobs another legal challenge against the U.S. government. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Chinese telecoms giant says there's no evidence to support a decision last month by the Federal Communications Commission to classify the company as a national security threat. At a press conference today, a lawyer for the firm called the decision, quote, shameful prejudgment of the worst kind. The BBC's Robin Brandt has more from Shanghai.
This is the second time this year that Huawei has turned to the US court system to try to overturn a decision that was made by the US government or one of its agencies. Back in May, that was about an order banning government agencies from buying Huawei kit. Now, this is aimed at the Federal Communications Commission order back in November, which meant that mobile phone firms looking to expand in rural areas of America weren't able to use a government fund to help buy kit from Huawei. Now, Huawei says that is illegal. It says it's not based on any substance or evidence. And so it's gone to the U.S. Appeals Court to try to overturn that decision.
The BBC's Robin Brandt there. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are broadly higher while the British pound is hitting another 2.5-year high against the euro. That's on optimism Boris Johnson's party will win next week's election, allowing Parliament to pass the Prime Minister's EU-agreed Brexit deal. Japan's Nikkei closed up 0.7% as investors welcomed fresh stimulus measures announced by the government. Meanwhile, London's FTSE 100 is down 0.2%, and the DAX in Frankfurt is flat. And oil prices are slightly higher as OPEC leaders are expected to agree deeper production cuts are needed next year. A nationwide strike in France today has brought large parts of the country to a standstill. The BBC's Hugh Schofield reports from the streets of Paris.
In Paris, the metro and commuter train services are virtually at a standstill. Oddly, road traffic seems to be moving relatively easily, which is probably because many people have made arrangements and are working from home or have taken a day off. The bad news is that the disruption seems set to last into Friday and quite possibly into next week. The issue is pension reform, with President Macron's government preparing to set out its plans for a new universal system that will replace the current 42 separate arrangements for different kinds of worker. Many people agree in theory with the idea of pension reform, but they're suspicious about how it may affect them personally, or they're using the opportunity of the strike to kick out against President Macron or to complain about what many see as the decline in public services.
The strike is really for our pensions, and I think we still need to fight for it, even more so as I'm a civil servant and we're very affected.
I expect to get a pension of no more than 1,600 euros per month. So if this reform goes through, I will only get about 1,100 euros. I get up at 4 a.m. every day and often work Saturdays and Sundays.
The train journey was amazingly comfortable this morning. There was hardly anyone on board. People were smiling and I even had space to read my paper.
Demonstrations are taking place around the country with a big police presence here in Paris because of fears of violence. In Paris, I'm the BBC's Hugh Schofield for Marketplace.
India's economy is growing at its slowest pace in 6 years. But in a surprise move, the country's central bank opted not to cut interest rates today. It did lower its annual growth forecast, but warned inflation is likely to keep rising. Prices of key cooking vegetables have skyrocketed for more than a month, denting household budgets. The BBC's Mike Johnson found out how one key staple has been impacted.
I'll chop this onion quickly and get it sizzling in a pan.
Well, I'm in the kitchens of an Indian restaurant in London called the Cinnamon Club, and with me is the executive chef Vivek Singh, also a television cook. Tell me, how important are these things we can see sizzling in front of us? Onions, how important are they?
Onions form the very basis, the backbone of our cooking. And onions is what thickens your sauces, enriches your meat dishes, and brings in sweetness, caramelization, all of those wonderful things that we associate with Indian food.
A 400% rise in onion prices back in the country of his birth is a big deal. India is a country where the cost of onions has become, well, a political hot potato, helping to make or break governments in the past.
I, Indira Gandhi,
Do solemnly affirm that I will bear true faith and allegiance.
Indira Gandhi and her Congress party swept back to power in 1980 after an election which even became known as the Onion Election. That's after the spiralling cost of onions was taken by many as evidence of the previous government's economic mismanagement. Dr. Saswati Chowdhury is an economics professor at St. Saviour's College in Kolkata.
She just told the people, the government is not caring about you, and so you better give vote to me. And she came back to power in 1980.
In 2013, onions were once again dominating the headlines.
Why the price of onions is leaving ordinary citizens in tears.
The 2013 onion price spike is believed by many to have helped propel Mr. Modi and his party, the BJP, to power the following year. Today, it's Mr. Modi who is feeling the heat as prices soar once more. The political fallout this time round will depend on how long it takes for the cost of an onion to fall again. But according to Dr. Chowdhury, the damage to the Indian economy has already been done.
Other countries like Pakistan, Egypt, China, they're trying to corner India's export market for onions. So I think it's going to be a huge blow to the other farmers who are growing onions in India. Maybe next year we are going to have a larger crisis in hand, because now more and more farmers will be less likely to sow onions. The Indian government is no longer a very reliant exporter of onions for the other countries of the world.
That's Saswati Chowdhury ending that report from the BBC's Mike Johnson. Finally, Saudi Arabia's state-owned oil company, Aramco, is expected to announce the share price of its highly anticipated initial public offering. If shares are listed at $8.50 each, it would be the world's biggest IPO, surpassing e-commerce giant Alibaba in 2014. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.